KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media Station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Wayback Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. We welcome you into the show, and hopefully you'll take us along for the ride for the next 3 hours as we, yes, we are all present and accounted for. It is Barry. It is Joel. It is Nicholas. He is back.
Sick Nick.
He goes home early yesterday, but makes a miraculous recovery and is back today, and therefore we have a theme for Wayback Wednesday because of his early departure yesterday. Songs with either a medical, doctor, or sick theme to it, whether it be artist, title, or lyrics and song.
Are you better?
I'm feeling a lot better.
Did you just tell the truth? You just had to poop really bad and you didn't want to do it here, right?
Well, I could have went in 5 minutes and come back.
How sick are you or were you really that you're already back the next day?
No, the main reason why is like around 1:32 yesterday, I just could not stop sneezing.
Oh, really?
So
you're
like,
allergic to Joel?
Wouldn't an allergy pill help?
Well, are you feeling better? Because you didn't feel good yesterday. Because you still sound sick.
No, I'm feeling a lot better.
Okay.
I'm just medicated.
Oh,
well.
That's going to make it interesting.
You will be very quick to the cues and draws today, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, none of the songs in our list are going to be okay.
Who's going first?
One of you two, because I definitely don't have a list. I don't even know what the
theme
was.
I think mine was seven, so you can do mine first.
All right. Okay. There you go. Barry first, me second, Nick third. Wayback Wednesday, so stay tuned for that.
I have my new favorite thing on the internet.
Okay.
Pop locking for Jesus.
Pop locking for
Pop
Jesus.
Locking for Jesus.
Is that Fred's
Christ!
Next book?
Huh?
Is that Fred's next book?
No.
No? Okay.
No. No. It's Pop Locking for Jesus. It's some dude. He's a former gangster, former gangbanger, and he's on video pop locking for Jesus. He just keeps going, Jesus Christ! And he's pop locking and.
No, you're not cussing. You're praising the Lord
he's
there.
Praising. Yeah, he's preaching. He's praising. He's not using it in vain. He's basically, my favorite part of the video is when he goes, shoes of peace, stomping on the enemy. It's like, whoa, those aren't very peaceful shoes if you're using them to stomp on the enemy. But I'm going to tweet it out. If you haven't seen Pop Locking for Jesus yet, I showed it to Lance just before the show.
Yes.
And he was watching it and laughing. And all he could say was, while watching it, he just goes, you know, I can't even concentrate because all I'm thinking about is who am I going to send this to? That's all I can think about. It is... without a doubt, my new favorite thing right now. And in fact, since it dropped, it's kind of gone viral.
Is it a local thing? Or
no, I don't know where he's from, but it's pretty special. It's pretty. Nick, do you have it? You should play it. That should be our bumper music. Forget Wayback Wednesday. We should just play him Sword of Destiny. Jesus, thank you, God. Like, it's so great. It's amazing.
So when is he going to be on the 15th?
That's going to be something I explore. Yeah. Well, so I've got something in the works that'll probably drop Friday or Monday. But then after that comes out, he may not want to do it. There may be a parody video. There may be a parody video in the works.
Ah.
So he may be like, nope, I'm not doing your podcast, sir. You disrespected my pop locking. So it's outstanding, though. At Barry's Funny on Twitter.
Do you think he'll find that?
I don't know. I mean, it just depends. Maybe the version I do goes viral too, and then I can be on my own podcast interviewing myself.
Well,
what was life like before I went viral? I don't know. It was pretty good.
Would that be more or less popular than Ron Burgundy and Will Ferrell doing an interview with one another?
That would be it. Would be way less popular than that.
Okay.
Way less popular.
Okay.
Got it. So did we miss anything last night? Did you actually not take a sleeping pill, not have a crick in your neck? And you seem like you're in a like 180 degree better mood today.
I have still have the crick in my neck, but I am in a much better mood. I don't know. Just got some sleep and yeah, got a haircut. I always feel good after a haircut. Always. Yeah,
I agree with that.
Always. So every Wednesday, yeah, I get the locks cut. So.
Well, it was weird because this morning on Lisa's morning show, they were talking about like there's a robot supposedly now that has about a 79% chance of being able to tell when your significant other or spouse is in a bad mood.
What?
Yeah. So they were all commenting.
But it's
on
only
it.
Men because there's no way to tell with women. No way. Good luck with that.
Take this for what it's worth, but it goes both ways. So they said it would work either way. And then they started commenting on how. No, seriously, when you, like Russ Lewis, the Lisa's co-host said, well, when you've been married as long as I have and at least more than 10 years, you don't need a robot. You know 100% when they're in a bad mood. And I was like, oh, yeah, because we both, Nick and I both knew you were not in a great mood yesterday.
Nope. I don't know why either. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Of course, I felt horrible. Because
I felt
of the
aura
in my neck.
Before yeah. you actually came into the studio. I felt the aura first. Then when you came in, I verified it.
You were like,
so
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's actually a good theory, better than a robot.
Need a robot, huh?
No, I don't need a robot. When you've been married for a while, you can figure it out.
Yeah, well, we've been married for 2 years
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right, because the Super Bowl's over.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, we need to look back at what was the official date.
It was shortly after the Super Bowl.
Well, so. I think it was that Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So that wasn't the 4th, was it, back then?
I don't remember.
I'll look it up.
The weird thing is, like, every day now I get a tweet that says, in Super Bowl history, this date. And it's like every day over the last 2 weeks, there's been an anniversary of a Super Bowl and a win. And I'm like, just stop.
All I know is this is episode 672.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that.
That's crazy.
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
You just made that number up?
Totally. I completely
go
made
take
that
some
number.
More cold medicine. We'll get back to you.
I like
but remember when
I love the made up facts for the usual suspects. Yeah. We need to keep this going.
Well, we last time I did the math and I approximated
yeah.
it to be 500 shows.
So we're at 604,032. We just
like
do it a whole like make up our own numbering system. 600,1,042,11.
Didn't
I tweet that out every day?
Yeah. Our episode, intern yeah. that used to work for Daryl Morey also says that we are most effective in the second segment in hour number 3 yeah. for approximately 4 minutes and 52 seconds.
That's right. By the way, you want to know the anniversary date? I hope you're all sitting down.
I think we are. Well, two of us are.
February 6th. What's today?
The 6th
Damn
of
right.
February.
How
it
do you
is
know
official.
That?
Because the Super Bowl was Sunday the 5th.
Yeah.
And we officially started day one the day after. Okay. As the usual suspects full time, the three of us.
Because well,
before that, we were
kids.
Always bouncing back and forth. So, yeah, 2 years in the books officially.
Happy anniversary, peeps.
Yeah, man.
Nick, you too. Come on. Celebration time. More
I put
cold
up with
medicine.
Both of you for 2 years.
Nick, what's your favorite moment of me in the last 2 years?
Oh, God.
Of you.
Yeah. It what's your favorite
so
moment of me?
And so
no,
selfish.
I'm just, no, I mean, we can do that for 3 hours if you guys
well,
want
to.
Well,
when you sold your sock to a homeless guy for a buck, I thought that was pretty funny. That was pretty interesting.
No, we don't have to do this. I'm just kidding.
Thank yeah. you.
I do want to make up facts about the usual suspects that aren't true. That I'm down with. Like, Nick has 3 nipples. That I'm totally down with.
That's not a fact.
No?
For I well, those listening.
Duh. I mean.
For those listening, that is not a fact.
Okay, we have said
two
bitch
and a
on
half.
This. We have said, yeah.
Two
yeah.
and a half.
It's a
with
mole.
A little extra hair.
It's a really sensitive mole. with some hair on it, but it's still a
it's
very...
not cancerous, but it's no. got a little hair they didn't want to remove.
If you squeeze it...
No.
I've got a mole, but it's not sensitive.
Is it around the nipples area?
And it's not hairy.
I have one, but it's on the side, though. It's
I don't
like
have
a little side boob mole.
I have a beauty mark on my face. And then I have moles elsewhere.
Is that how we're going to describe it?
Oh, is
we're
that what you're going to say?
A beauty I've mark? Always said that ever since I've been a kid. I tell my mom that and everything else. I'm like, it's a beauty mark on my face.
Really?
But everywhere else I have
I've never
moles.
Seen a beauty mark with hair growing out of it excessively longer than the rest.
I got to check it. I shave it, but I don't think there's any hair.
Because I have
out
like
it.
A little mole that's like a flat mole. It's not raised. You know how you get some of them that are just,
yep.
It's like almost like a freckle, but it's an actual mole.
Or a birthmark.
No, it's a mole.
I'm not saying yours.
Right. But this is more, I mean, it's slightly raised, but not like yours.
Yeah.
But, and this is so funny because it's so true. Growing up, literally, that was the only place on my face that hair would grow out of. And so I would just have this really hairy ass mole because I never shaved. And I would just have like six strands of hair, like my face had a ponytail. It was the worst looking thing.
I remember ever. When Madonna had hers, it became a thing. And then like chicks you'd meet out in the clubs and whatever would have them. And mm-hmm. she'd be, I can just remember the one chick came up to me and goes, oh, look, you have one and I have one too. And I go, yeah, but mine won't come off with rubbing alcohol because they used to take a makeup pencil and like give them the... Females would give themselves their own little like beauty mark above their lip.
So
and stuff.
Weird.
Just yeah. Why?
So strange.
Work with what God gave you. Don't start creating things.
Yeah. Josh Rapp said, "I still think y'all should have named the show the Blankenberries."
Okay, no. That's old.
No, we're not doing that.
No.
Nope. No. Not gonna happen.
Well, at least we get listener suggestions rolling. I can't wait to see the text line. And with that in mind, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. That is our HRNP listener line. So, therefore, you could reach the show either way. You could also reach us via Twitter, where you can reach out to at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
Jesus Christ!
At Barry is Funny, who I believe is religious today.
It
not
is.
Not cussing.
By the way, I did tweet the video out. Pop Locking for Jesus. Just go to at Barry's Funny on Twitter. You'll find it. It's amazing.
There
and
you
you're all welcome if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
It's the new thing.
And song number one
yeah.
is yours.
Crazy good.
We'll leave it right there. It's
what?
The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Neo. Sporn. No. Neo. Good one here. That's a good song. If you're yeah, on a
so
date.
So sick. It is a good song. Although I was watching the video as I was making the list.
Yes.
And at one point in the video, he shakes the woman and aggressively throws her against the window. And I was like, oh, that would never happen nowadays. That would not be a video you would make.
Yeah. So essentially, Barry should lose just for that, Nick.
What? Oh, you want to talk about losing? You want to just get this out of the way now?
Sure.
Because I have a bone to pick with you about your list.
That's fine.
Well, first of all, besides the fact that you were pandering.
How am I pandering again? I didn't get it in within 4 minutes. I didn't do anything after the show. What now?
Okay. I guess so. Because the bad case of loving you is because they say doctor, doctor in it, right?
Correct.
Oh, my God. And then the pandering with how many Dr. Dre songs were you going to
put? You said it yesterday. And
how
I'm
many?
Like, but
how
I
many
did on collaborations. So it wasn't all just his music alone. It was his collaborations with Nick's boy Tupac and Snoop and things like that.
Pander, pander, pander. How many Dr. Dre songs did I have?
Did you just use winner twice? I mean, pander twice? Now let's check the text messages.
Did you see how many Dr. Dre songs I had?
That's because you decided that you
I'm a genius.
No, you know what you did? You decided, well, I could do that and be smart, or I could be even smarter and I could not do that and bust on Joel for doing that and get people on my side.
I have no idea what you just
yeah.
said. That is the
you follow
weirdest.
Me, Nick?
That was the weirdest thing I think you've ever said.
I'm not going to care. I'm going to include a couple of Dr. Dre.
See?
Are you really?
See?
Sellout ass Nick.
The ones that you guys didn't pick.
Nick, don't take that peer pressure stuff from him.
I'm glad you guys really put a lot of effort into this.
Always.
It's a shame.
How did I not? I did my list last night at about like 10 saying. O'clock.
You just like go. You just Google Dr. Dre songs. That's it.
No, I did
That's
not. Just and first of all, I wouldn't have to Google them. But second of all, no, I did not.
Okay. did y'all hear the morning show give Joel crap about Chandler Parsons possibly coming back to the Rockets? LOL. What did you do?
So
what happened?
I did a sports map video yesterday, which they...
Which I watched.
Debuted last night. Thank
and
you,
And I clicked
Nick.
And replayed.
Thank you.
Was it good?
I thought it was a good video.
Okay.
And here's the thing. So I do the video and I create the content. And the content was about things that we've talked about too, which is Everybody's all geeked up about the Rockets and the trade deadline. They should be more excited about the potential for more buyout candidates that could be signed after they're let go by teams that they're traded to and could help the Rockets. We saw it with Austin Rivers. We saw it with Kenneth Faried. I think the chances are better because you don't want to give up rotational players that could hurt you depth-wise and or talent-wise while you're trying to add to your team. And at the end, after I gave you suggestions like DeAndre Jordan and others, please watch the video because it helps. At the very end, I said, and I'm not sure how you guys feel about this, but another candidate that might be out there is a guy like Chandler Parsons. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the guys, very, very street savvy, decided that the headline of the video should be, for social media and otherwise, should be, should the Rockets bring back Chandler Parsons? Oh, my God. I mean, I got so many notifications on Twitter of people that were just, hell no, screw that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, geez, watch the whole video.
So you got attacked, huh?
Yeah, everybody was all over me because of the Chandler Parsons aspect. And I go, there were other names.
So why did the morning show bust on you?
I think they were busting on me because they don't feel I should dress up for videos.
That's not the only reason, because the texter mentioned Chandler Parsons.
I didn't hear it.
Oh.
But
we got to find out where it
the
is.
The guys didn't.
Are we having Lance on today?
Yeah.
Well, we'll just ask.
I think
him.
So. Are we?
I asked him earlier if he was even in the building. I don't even know if
I
he's
saw
here.
Him because I introduced him to Pop Locking Jesus.
He doesn't leave
or
the building.
Pop Locking for Jesus.
Oh, that's this time right. of year.
So yeah, I'll ask here. Him in the break and confirm.
Yeah, we'll get him to clarify what it was that he was saying about our buddy. Yeah, we're not going to have that.
Because they'll ask Granada, who doesn't?
We're not going to have that show on show violence. It's just not going to happen.
Especially internally. God forbid we would actually attack others outside the building.
Would never do that. Here's the text. Congratulations, fellas. I've enjoyed listening. The Blitz is still better. LOL. Now, see? We just said none of that. But we appreciate you listening, jerk. Instead of Nick, can we call him Trip Nips?
The triple nipple?
Yeah.
And that's I have two nipples.
That is a thing that
I don't
started
have a sensitive
now.
Mole.
We got an Astros question we'll get to a little bit later. Usual suspects fact number one, Barry is a black Jewish man. Congratulations on 2 years, AT&T. No, false fact.
Fact.
Well.
Pedro tweeted us that he's listening and then responded because I said, thanks for listening. He said, you got some fans over here in Angleton. Well, thank you very much.
Where is Angleton again? Which way?
In Texas.
It's kind of southwest-ish, right? Is it southwest? I believe it's southwest of town near the Gulf, if I'm not mistaken.
We're big in the triangle, too.
I could be wrong. Oh, yes, of course. Of course we are.
So the deadline's tomorrow at 2 p.m. our time.
Big trade popped off last night.
Three of them are in the books already now. Nothing with your Rockets. But your thoughts, guys, initially on the big trade Barry speaks of, in which the Clippers and the Sixers pulled off a multiplayer deal with the quote-unquote centerpieces being, I guess you could say centerpieces, right? I mean, the big deal was the fact that Tobias Harris, who's going to be a free agent, goes from the Clippers. He's probably arguably the Clippers' best player. He's going to the Sixers along with Boban Marjanovic, which is that big 8'12" guy.
Yeah.
And Mike Scott, three-point shooter. For Wilson Chandler, Landry Shamet, Mike Muscala, Philadelphia's first-round pick in 20, the Miami Heat unprotected first-round pick in 21, and 2 second-rounders. I think that the Clippers got a boatload for a guy that they were going to lose in free agency anyway, but I do think the Sixers got better.
I think it's a win-win. I really do. I think both sides won. Like you said, Sixers got better. They now have a legit big four / big five. I mean, they if they're able to somehow re-sign Harris and they are a legitimate, not only are they, I think, the favorite now to win the East, but they're a legitimate threat to the Golden State Warriors.
I was going
to
say.
Especially if they can add some depth.
Before this trade, they were probably the third or fourth best team in the East. But now, if they're healthy and you have a guy like Harris to complement an all-star like Jimmy Butler and the two young kids in Simmons and Embiid, and then you have J.J. Redick, and you have a deeper bench.
Yeah.
They definitely did what they needed to do. Regardless of for next year and going forward, this year they're a much better team.
Yeah, their bench isn't deep right now, but this is also why I think, and you know, obviously didn't know this shooting the video, but I would bet it's even money that Wesley Matthews now goes to the Sixers in a buyout deal. Why wouldn't you want to go to that team?
Oh, I don't think he does because he's the same player as both Butler and Tobias Harris. I think he's going to look at OKC, Toronto, and the Rockets.
But boy, if you go to a team like that and you add some quality depth to a team that outside of their starting five, their bench lacks a lot. And you could really be the sixth man on a team that could potentially make a legitimate championship run. I think it's something that he would definitely consider. But like I said, I think it's a win-win because I think obviously Philly got better and they may have the best squad in the East now. But also, I mean, the Clippers, I was reading where it's one of their picks this year. If they made the playoffs, they would lose a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So they were sitting in the eighth seed. So this is almost guarantees now they're not going to make the playoffs. They'll get caught by L.A. or I mean by the Lakers or Sacramento or somebody like that. And so they'll get to keep the pick this year. If they can somehow figure out how to tank, they will get to keep the pick again and next year in the first round. And then at that point, it becomes two second rounders that I think they send. I think it's either the Sixers or the Celtics.
Here's the other key to the one for this year. They also own Sacramento's pick if they make the playoffs. So if they make the playoffs, they'll get that pick as well.
No, Well, what I had read is if they missed the playoffs, this first round, they had traded a pick that if they made the playoffs, they would lose.
I'll give you all.
And if they don't, they get a first rounder. So I don't know about the Sacramento thing. I do know that they get a 2021 unprotected first round pick from the Heat, which could be huge because the Heat may be pretty bad coming up here with all things said and done. And I mean, they got Shamet isn't a bad player. I think he's been decent. He's a guy that looks like he has a ton of potential, so you got a little younger and maybe, you know, and I mean, Wilson Chandler isn't a bust. He's had a down year, but he has.
I just tweeted it out. That's the guy that I missed in my video that the Rockets have loved for a long time. They've tried to trade for him. They liked him in free agency.
Yeah, he's a decent player.
If I mean, the Clippers buy him out, look for the Rockets to go after a guy like that.
You think they will?
I think it's a distinct possibility because the Clippers are now trying to get younger,
yep.
Trying to get their young guys
and they don't
want to
make
time.
The playoffs.
Here's what I had. If the Clippers miss the playoffs, they keep their first rounder and Boston doesn't get it.
That's
otherwise, they would have got right. Then the eighth seed that is now open for the Kings, ensuring that the pick Boston gets from the Clippers is non-lottery. And now they're saying they have even the biggest thing in the whole trade is they now have so much more cap room, and if they get rid of Avery Bradley and one other guy, that they can clear the way for two
right.
three.
So what
two
I was
maxes.
Saying is if they miss the playoffs, they keep the pick, which would be a first round
right.
pick. And then if they miss it again next year, so if they miss the playoffs the next
right.
2 years, those picks that pick turns into two second round picks that they would
right.
give up and not a first round pick. So they almost want to tank the next 2 years, this year and next year.
But their main plan is to get two max players.
Well, they're
going to
go after
season.
Kawhi probably.
Yeah,
that's
Kawhi
a big target
and
for them.
Or they've said that maybe KD and Kawhi team up and go there.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, KD's an East Coast guy, but he's gotten used to that West Coast lifestyle.
Why would
and
he
LA
leave the
is
Warriors
big,
to go to the Clippers with Kawhi?
To take on LeBron?
No.
To be in the same city and be the better
you're still
team?
In the same, you're in the West. You still take him on.
We'll see. Should be interesting, though.
Yeah.
And we should have a lot more to talk about between now and 2 o'clock tomorrow as the trade deadline continues. Lakers also added Reggie Bullock, not that anybody cares, from the Pistons, but that was a deal that went down. And then Thon Maker, a disappointing lottery pick from the Bucks, goes to the Pistons for Stanley Johnson, another disappointing lottery pick. So we'll see if that works out for either team. But plenty more things being discussed, including plenty of moves for the Rockets and otherwise. We can get to those as we continue throughout the show. We'll be back with much more. It is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
I'm the Diggy Diggy Doc, y'all. Pumping it, yes, y'all. DLC on the set to be kicking fresh, y'all.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You all right over there?
Look how crooked the video is.
Dude, it's better than what it was earlier.
It
tried.
Looks like I'm sliding. I should be sliding.
Oh, it does. It looks like that We Buy Ugly Houses commercial where
I'm
going to
make it look like I'm hanging on.
Velcro the plates to the table.
That's because every time Ken Hoffman makes an appearance on the Charlie Polillo show, he turns the camera.
That is just hilarious.
Trying to hold
and Nick
on.
Comes in and goes, here, let me fix it. Y'all are crooked. What? What kind of cockeyed view do you have?
It was already crooked.
Well, it's really bad now.
It was worse.
Looks like we're about to slide out of frame.
Instead of the new TV commercial, we buy ugly studios. Instead of we buy ugly houses. That's that commercial where the gel, they say pass the Jell-O, or they call it pudding.
Yeah.
And it's Velcroed to the table. When you let it go, it just slides off. That's what it looks like. Yeah. It looks like we're on a slant.
I have more facts for you of the show.
Okay.
Steven Uzik sent one. In 2 years, y'all have spent approximately 16 hours and 47 minutes discussing lawn maintenance.
And that's 16 hours plus too long.
Okay.
Take that.
You're going to be hitting me up when your yard dies.
No, just I will so not. You know. Just like just you don't so help you me know. With IT, I don't want your help on lawn either.
Yeah, I'm not your personal IT.
Well, you should be. Help the show.
Why?
Help me help
your
you.
Your old ass knows how to use Google.
Help me help
no,
you.
No, your old ass can log on to Google and
your
be like.
Your old ass found out how old you were yesterday on Twitter, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I sure did. I had no idea. All right, a couple more texts and then we can get back. I want to talk a little bit about this Astros thing that's going on.
Okay.
So we do have an Astros question and we'll get to that in a bit. But until then, Barry, did you finish the Bundy documentary? And if you did, what did you think about it? You haven't watched it because you're not a Netflix guy. Did you watch it, Nicholas? Did you watch the Bundy?
Man, I did not.
It is really good. I highly recommend it. That dude is, it's amazing how not only just creepy he was, but how he held it together. Like, he was just a smooth, you would never realize that that dude
a
was
a criminal.
Like, oh my God.
It was right there.
He was just like a smooth talker. You know, they always, whenever you talk about Ted Bundy, somebody's always going to mention about how handsome he was, about how, how he was, the guy next door that no one would suspect, he was a lawyer, this and that. But you're like, yeah, but he was a necrophiliac. He cut the heads off of women. Like, he murdered at least 10 people. And to see him, you know, or to hear it in his own words, super creepy. But I really liked it. I highly recommend it if you need something to watch. It was fascinating to kind of hear it from his own words.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Just moved to San Antonio. Thank God for the ESPN 97.5 app so I can still listen.
Appreciate
Let that
it.
Be a lesson for you all.
Indeed.
If you are out and about, maybe you're moving out of town or you're heading out temporarily, or you just want to always make sure you can get us even if the weather causes issues with the signal, just get the ESPN 97.5 app, download it, and you're good to go. Hey, Barry, the usual slackers. This is Q-Beam. Hey, glad to hear you guys got Nick some Virginia wipes. So he could feel better. Well, they're just shooting shots at you, man.
That was just really funny.
Why are they so mean to you?
I don't know. I'm the nice guy.
You do realize when you left yesterday, it was a full-on sanitization of the entire production studio.
Well, that's because we'll see how they usually do it. If someone is sick, usually this is how we've done it here. I don't know if this is bad protocol. The guy that's sick is the one that wipes everything down. So I began doing so. Aaron came walking in and said, I don't want you wiping it down. I want to wipe it down. I'm like, okay, go ahead.
Wow.
Does it really matter? I figured the guy that was sick
would want to touch the germs to clean them.
But whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why you saw him do that.
He was on a mission with all that.
Somebody said Joel just wants Parsons back so he can do a Stephen A. Smith impersonation.
Not sure.
Every time I hear his name, though, that's all I think of.
Although I will say this.
Is you doing Stephen A. Smith.
I think he's a great dude, and he always did every interview for me.
Who, Chandler
and had
Parsons?
Fun. Yeah, he was just an easy. Always said he would actually ask me, "Hey, are we gonna do an interview today?" He
really?
Loved doing them, and we got to be really good friends. And I can't, you know, I understand the Rockets' angst against him, but at the same time, I can't be mad at him for going out and getting paid. He got the money that. The second contract, I told him I didn't think he should opt out in Dallas because I didn't think he was going to get more than he got. And he got 25. He went from like 15 or 19 a year to 25 a year on a multi-year deal
from
Memphis.
Money.
And I went,
oh my God.
Hey, congratulations. If someone's willing to give it to you, take it.
Stole that money.
No question. After microfracture surgery.
Yeah. But
the other night, he was at his alma mater because Memphis told him to go home because he was adamant that he wants to start practicing and playing.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, no. And then he practiced one day and he did really well and pulled the Jimmy Butler and started screaming, play me. And they said, just get your stuff and we'll let you know if we're going to trade you, buy you out or do whatever, but go home. So he was in the crowd for the Florida game the other night.
Wow. You know, he went to school with, I think I told the story, but he went to school with the Don't Tase Me Bro guy that I interviewed for the podcast.
Oh, really?
And he actually tells the story about that. I should get the clip and let Nick play it.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll get you the clip at because we're going to go to a break here in a couple minutes, but I'll play the clip. You can hear it in his own words what Chandler Parsons did with the Don't Tase Me Bro guy. It's pretty interesting. All right, so the news that I've been wanting to get to that, I'm kind of a baseball dork, and I know you are too.
Yeah.
But the fact that Carlos Correa won his arbitration case is good news. What's even better news is that, so he was asking for, he was awarded $5 million. The offer from the Astros was $4.25 million. Mm-hmm. So Correa won, he got $5 million. And also Tommy Pham won his arbitration case with the Rays, who I think is another guy to kind of keep your
talent.
Eye on. Yeah, keep an eye on Tommy Pham. My favorite part of it, though, is that sometimes you hear bad things about arbitration, and there have been players in the past that have kind of held a grudge against the team that won arbitration, or sometimes they win, but they still hold a grudge because bad things come to light from the team about the player in the arbitration hearing, and they'll try to downplay what the player's contributions have been and make them look bad just to save a couple of million dollars. Well, it doesn't look like that was the case here because it was only $750,000 difference between the two. But Carlos Correa goes and posts, I won the ARB case, ! Astros, true professionals throughout the process, all glory to God. If you're an Astros fan, I'm telling you right now, you should be really happy to hear that because that's big news when this guy actually gets through all the arbitrations and becomes a free agent and he's looking for a place to land with a big contract.
We've told some of the stories of Chris Archer and Marcus Stroman, guys like that that went into their own arbitration hearings and came
Stroman
out
was the one
really,
I was thinking about.
Really red-assed and bitter. Last night on they have a 9 o'clock show on MLB Network where Smoltz and Billy Ripken talk about news of the day. And Smoltz detailed he had four different times. He always wanted to play his whole career with the Braves. He had four different times when his contract came up. One time, the year prior to him winning the Cy Young, he went to the Braves and said, you just want to talk about an extension now? And they flat told him no. And he was like, yeah, it was motivation, but it also gave me a reality in terms of it's a business, kind of ticked him off a little bit. And that's the kind of thing that people don't get.
Yep.
You really find out it's a business, but at the same time, some people deal with it well and use it as motivation, and other people just can't recover from something like that.
No, and that's the thing is you didn't want a case where Carlos Correa, a cornerstone of your franchise going forward, you hope, coming out of an arbitration hearing, pissed off and like, hey man, that team attacked me. They said all these negative things about me. They tried to make me look bad and said I wasn't worth it. What do you mean I'm not worth it? And then, you know, he goes on to do great things, and you're
that's why you got to be leery of George Springer. Because George Springer, even though I think the Astros did a lot with this 2-year deal that they signed him on before last season and gave him money ahead of schedule, they're trying to make right a wrong of the past where Luno wasn't involved.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he was held back so that they had more team control for an extra year a couple of times, and I think it really ticked off him and his camp.
I can remember Charlie Polillo on our station.
Yep.
I can remember years ago him leading the charge in this city from a sports talk perspective about George Springer needs to be up here and getting mad year after year when it didn't happen. And it is true. I think that bothered Springer. Well, I know it did. But the saving grace, as you mentioned, is the fact that you have an ownership and a general manager that can say, dude, that wasn't us. Look how we've taken care of everybody else. We would have done that with you. That's why we gave you this offer. So don't hold that against us. So I think that's the saving grace. And I think Springer's smart enough to know that.
I agree. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Plenty more just getting started in hour number one of the big show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Text or call that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Usual Suspects, hour one, three-hour show. Lance Erline's going to join us tomorrow. So hopefully, if you guys have questions and comments about, possibly football draft-related kind of stuff.
Maybe.
And other things. Lance will join us tomorrow with his... He doesn't claim us yet. He claims the blitz and he claims the bench.
He's not on board yet?
Not yet. He says, yep, we have to get in like the number one and get back to like top three in the city, and then he'll consider it.
Nice.
Kiss my ass.
Hey, real quick. So this is the audio from the podcast when I interviewed Andrew Meyer, who's the Don't Tase Me Bro guy.
Yes.
So he was talking about how somebody else had copyrighted the phrase for him. His buddy did and gave it to him. And he was like, well, you know, I took it because like other people were selling shirts. So why shouldn't I sell shirts and make a little money off of it? And then he talked about seeing them. So this is what he said about Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, why shouldn't they send me a cut? Which I never got a lot of that money, and I'm sure there are tens of thousands of T-shirts sold. One of the University of Gator basketball players, Chandler Parsons, he came up to me at the gym I used to play rec basketball at, and he said, you know, we went to Vanderbilt the other day, and literally every single person in the student section was wearing a Don't Tase Me Bro T-shirt. So I'm sure there was a lot of T-shirts sold, but, you know, it's a lot harder to get the value out of something like that when you're trying to go through lawyers and
yeah. He was in jail when it was all going down. When he got the trademark, like all that stuff,
yeah.
He was in jail at the time because wow. when he got arrested on the campus. But yeah, so apparently this was going on in colleges and he knew Chandler Parsons, and I was surprised to hear that when we were recording. I was like, oh wow, you don't really get a sports commentary in the middle of something like that. So yeah. That's how Chandler Parsons and the Don't Tase Me Bro guy crossed paths. All right, you ready for this Astros question?
Yeah, can I just say something before we get it?
Yeah,
on the Chandler Parsons thing, we mentioned him in the crowd.
Uh-huh.
I hope that people realize wherever he goes, and if he does get to go to another team, that there has to be a period of conditioning, because he looked more like Mark Gasol than he did Chandler Parsons. He's got a big-ass beard, and he looked like he had been fed well.
No.
That's not good on a repaired knee.
No, that's not good at all. It's going to be a while.
Yeah, so we'll see.
All right, somebody had a question. Astros question for y'all. Could Tyler White be used as a trading chip coupled with Tucker to get Realmuto? He had a great season as a hard worker with a great attitude. If you traded him in a package, you could still have room for Yuli at first and could bring back Marwin. I don't know that they're not necessarily looking at bringing back Marwin because Tyler White is here.
No, I wouldn't say that, but I would say there's a distinct possibility that Tyler White and a top prospect like Tucker could be the bait for Realmuto because of the fact that most of these teams are looking for help for the future, and then all with the draft with the high prospects, and then a guy that can still play in the field for them this year, a position player already on the MLB roster, and he would fit the bill. And the texter's right; he had a decent end of the year.
Well, let me tell you why I in some ways don't know that the Marlins would consider that, and
all
it's
right.
because part of Tyler White's value is his ability to DH.
True.
And when you send him to a team like the Marlins, it's going to be first base, maybe some left field, and he's kind of a liability in left field. And not a great, I mean, he's not a terrible first baseman. He's not even a bad first baseman. He's just average. And I think if you're just going to have an average first baseman, you really need a guy at those corner positions that can hit for a lot of pop, and especially in a lineup that's not going to feature any in Florida.
Well, but here's the thing. Not that I'd say that I believe in him as an outfielder, a third baseman, a shortstop or a second baseman, but the Astros have considered playing him at all three different positions at different times before he found the niche at first base and as a designated hitter. So he has versatility. I mean, he looks like a lumberjack, so I don't know that he's going to have like a whole lot of athleticism
he's not
in the hole or whatever, you know. But look, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just the eye of the beholder. If the Marlins feel like that he's got versatility and he could play different positions for them, let him go.
What do you mean?
I'm saying, I get your point.
That if the Marlins are saying
no
that
DH, but yeah. If the Marlins think, hey.
If the Marlins are buying in on it, don't know.
Derek Jeter might buy in on anything at this point.
Well, yeah, that's a strong possibility. He's not impressing me thus far. But yeah, I just and plus, why would anybody be really attracted to Tucker? Why? What's the if you're ready to get rid of Tucker? Why do you think that other teams are going to be high on him?
I don't necessarily
high enough to send you a star.
Yeah, see, I don't think they're tipping their hand that they're ready to get rid of him. But I think that still, when you look at and I recently was reading at ESPN and others had
no, I meant the texter is ready to get rid of Tucker.
Oh.
If you don't think he's good and want to get rid of him, and he's just we don't need him. Well, I know, but I'm just saying, other teams are looking at the same stuff you're looking at?
But they're looking at the same track record. Are also looking at the fact that like ESPN's top 100 prospects going forward 2019 and beyond, both Tucker and Whitley were in the top 10, I believe.
Okay,
so that at least, and again, Derek Jeter might not be going into this in-depth scouting process since he cleaned house and got rid of all of his scouts and all of his baseball people. Who knows how they're going about the process, but even if they just reference it and go, hey, several services have said and articles have said these guys are top 100 prospects.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you better hope on that, because if they're going off track record in the majors, it wasn't pretty when he was up here.
Not yet. I wasn't impressed at all with what he did when he was here.
And he's young.
He's supposed to have pop, and he looked like he was a straw.
If you're making that move, yeah, they've I remember early on people saying he had the swing of Ted Williams. It's like, he may look like it.
Yeah.
I mean, in the motion, but the results are nowhere near Ted Williams.
I get the splendid splinter because he's about as wide as a splinter. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there was work to be done on him and his body type and everything like that, to where I just think in this case, I wasn't for trading Bregman for Chris Sale. But in this case, I'm for trading Tucker if it brings back Real Muto or if it brings back Corey Kluber or something like that. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I think Whitley's a better prospect at this point because we haven't seen him in the majors.
Yeah. Hey, Barry, what's the best fertilizer to use?
Oh, God.
Sweet Green. You're welcome. That's it. I'm done. There's no explanations needed. Just go get Sweet Green. You'll love it. It's all organic, too.
Another trade by the Sixers just in, by the way.
Oh,
Sixers acquire former first-round pick from Syracuse, Malachi Richardson, and Toronto's 2022 second-round pick and the draft rights to Amir Preldazic in exchange for cash considerations in a trade with the Raptors. Essentially, they're just clearing roster spots so that they can
am I supposed to know those names?
I'll tell you this one.
The say one Amir's last name again?
Which one?
Amir's last name?
Preldzik. P-R-E-L-D-Z-I-K.
It was three syllables the first time you said it.
Here's the thing. The reason why I know Malachi Richardson, not only was he a really good player on Syracuse's team and he's a first-round pick, because Bill Worrell used to call him Malachi.
That would be something I would do. I'm that dumb. I am that dumb. I would do that.
The Kings in for the Kings is Malachi Richardson from Syracuse. And I was like, what? I had to rewind it. And I thought Bullard would correct him, but no, it was Malachi.
Of course not. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. It's a good song here. Underrated song. Thompson Twins.
Yeah. I'm really into the 80s.
Nick's a little ticked off he didn't get on his list.
Is he?
Yeah.
This song is whack.
See?
No, you started it in the wrong spot.
No, I didn't.
Dun, 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 dun.
If it's a good song, it doesn't matter where I started.
That's not true.
Barry, we'll get to it. We just talk a little bit more and we'll take it right into the chorus.
Yeah. So anyways, about this fertilizer.
See, is that what you want?
No, I didn't want that either. Yeah. That's a bunch of crap.
I wouldn't do that to you.
There you go.
Yeah. Can't you see I'm burning? Love the 80s.
You're burning.
I'm so into 80s music right now. It's crazy. It's all like
in the car?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really into it right now.
Tidbits and fun facts about your favorite co-host. All right, there you go. Hour number one's in the books. That means Barry's list is off the board, and I guess I'm going in hour number two. It's a Way Back Wednesday. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.